We have greeted the new week with a tremendous uptick in the cases of COVID-19, not just here. I think there were something over 80,000 in the U.S. on Sunday. But France, a much smaller country, had over 50,000. Italy, France, Spain, all being hit. Germany's talking about shutting down, if not the whole country, maybe different regions of it. This, of course, hits the hospitals particularly hard. Tenet Healthcare just came off a really an incredible quarter where earnings were better than expected, revenues beat, and I think I counted 7 brokerage houses that raised their target price on them. So are they ready this time around? Ron Rittenmeyer is Executive Chairman and CEO of Tenet and joins us right now. It's good to have you with us.
Thank you, David.
So we see the numbers out there. Are you beginning to see the numbers increase in your hospitals?
In selected markets, as you know, we have 65 acute care hospitals across the United States. So, specifically in the Texas area, San Antonio is fine, but El Paso is feeling a bit of a overall stress. Our hospitals in El Paso are clearly operating at the upper end of what we normally would be. We're seeing certainly a fair number of increased cases in that market. Fortunately, I would say the majority of those cases are not resulting in deaths. We've seen a decrease in the death rate. Some of that has to do with younger patients. It also has to do with, over time, different applications, different treatments, different medications like Remdesivir and other things now are being applied. And just, we're certainly familiar with it now, which back in April we weren't. So I think we're doing a much better job. But yes, I mean, to answer your question, we have seen an uptick. Some other markets, Alabama, some other locations, we've seen the same type of thing. But El Paso by far is the busiest market for us right now.
Well, you talked about one of the concerns, because I would assume that the second time you go through something, at least the learning curve is there, but also ideally the treatments are there. Do you have access to all these treatments that we've been reading about?
Yeah, I would say for the most part, we have access to everything. The issue though goes back to, this is still a very highly infectious disease. There is no vaccine at this stage that's out in the market. So what you're dealing with is treatments that I think minimize it, help reduce it, help reduce the stay potentially in a hospital, help knock out some of the peaks that may occur. But it is not a disease at this stage that you can get ahead of without a vaccine. We have to get a vaccine out there. And until that time, people have to remember that it is still highly infectious. So wearing masks, obviously washing your hands, paying attention is the, social distancing. Those things truly do work. And it's really important that the community spread is controlled.
One of the numbers that came out of your quarterly report really pleasantly surprised me. I know the staff infection rate in some cases is double digits. And this has been just a horrible thing. You make these poor people go back to work every day, knowing they're probably going to be exposed to it. In your case, the infection rate, I think, was less than 4%. What are you doing?
Well, we learned early on, this is something we started with, that managing your staff, managing your hospital, having very strict rules about how we deal with it, isolating COVID patients from other patients, providing separate entrances for potential COVID patients, making sure we have the appropriate PPE in place, that our staff is geared up, is trained, has gone a long way. So, I mean, you're right. Our infection rate is below 4% across our entire network. And the average, I think the CDC published rate's about 13% right now. And the only way that works is you've got to get everybody lined up as best you can and ensure that you're following safety protocols throughout the whole place. And we even follow them here in our headquarters building. I mean, when you walk through the door, we have automatic temperature readers that are very accurate. We have people attest to make sure that they've had absolutely no symptoms, and everybody must wear a mask from the moment they are walking through the garage to the moment they leave the building. So we're very strict, and we're very strict in our hospitals as well.
So let's talk about, you have sort of a three-pronged approach as a CEO. You've got an obligation to your employees, to your customers, but also to the shareholders. So tell me about how that's going. You had, last time around, you had some CARES Act grants. I think there was some money, some Medicare money that was paid out in advance that helped you out. And all we hear now is we're looking for a stimulus plan, and we don't seem to have it. Do you need another?
Yes, I think that's true. Our spikes now are actually higher than they were in April and May. So clearly, you know, while our volume looks like it's recovering, and it is, you know, we still have gaps because treating a COVID patient is very expensive, as well as the fact that, you know, length of stays tend to be longer, more complex. We have to bring in extra staff. I mean, there's a whole variety of things that are outside the norm. So there's still money to be released in the original CARES grant. We're hopeful they'll do that shortly. And, you know, those types of things will help us from a financial standpoint. But from a business standpoint, I think we're operating very well. USPI as a division has done incredibly well. You know, we have great ratings in terms of safety at our surgery centers. We've added a significant number of new surgeons this year. In fact, we've added about 1,100 new surgeons just since the beginning of the year. And out of the 600, and these are approximate numbers, but out of the 688,000 USPI surgical cases that we performed from mid-March through September, we've not had a single confirmed case of COVID as a result of performing a surgical procedure at our facilities. So we think that speaks volumes about our safety protocol, our awareness, and this affects both our shareholders and our patients and our staff. I mean, everybody, all stakeholders are affected by safe performance and quality.
Yeah, so we're talking about the ambulatory surgical services,
yes.
United Surgical. Are all those, correct, are they all open now? Because they,
yes,
were forced to close for a good long while.
Correct. They were forced to close, but we are fully open across the country. And like I said, we are performing surgeries on a daily basis in a very safe environment. So USPI is back up to the mid-90s of pre-COVID level in terms of volume. Because a lot of these surgeries, these are, you know, this is back to the statement of being elective. Elective, all elective means is scheduled. But these are things like, you know, preventive care, whether it be colonoscopies or mammograms or surgeries related to that, hips and knee replacements and seriously debilitating pain that we've had to replace, all types of other activities that surgically needed to be done. And we're back performing those, I think, at certainly a very reasonable rate and a very safe rate.
You know, one of the things you told us several months ago when this was all just first starting is that you had to set aside beds in your hospital anticipating an influx of patients. And so consequently, in many cases, the beds were going unused that could have been used for something else. Is that true this time around? Is that still true?
No, because we're not, you know, we're following the state guidelines. Every state has a set of guidelines, most relatively the same. And we have to maintain some surge capacity. We have that surge capacity in our hospitals, and we're able to bring it up pretty quickly. We've also gotten very good at that. But we do not have to now staff and set aside beds in areas where there's just absolutely no activity level. So we have certainly parts of the country where, and cities where we do not see the same type of activity. But in El Paso, for example, we've stepped back a bit from elective surgeries, not significantly, but we're monitoring that and we meter it based on what the demand is. So as the COVID patient requirement goes up, we release beds and we dedicate them to that. So we've been so far successfully ahead of the curve. But it really requires constant daily adjustments across your system.
Well, you seem to be doing it pretty well. Like I say, the earnings were good. Your target prices were raised at Jefferies and Piper, Sandler, Citi, and Stevens, and Raymond James. And it looks like you're managing it well. We hope the second wave, well, we hope the third wave doesn't show up. We hope the second wave is calm. Ron Rittmeyer is the executive chairman and CEO of Tenet Healthcare. It's always good to spend some time with you, sir.
Thank you, David. It's always a pleasure.
Thanks. For more of our conversation with Mr. Rittmeyer, go to KRLD.com/CEO. I'm David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.